Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Hello, community. Are you in your pajamas? Are you on your beds? Well, I was really, really inspired by Pastor Jeremy's message last week. He preached a thoroughly good message and made mention of some pretty tough points, but needful to be mentioned. What he brought out that was extremely pertinent to us today was that we need to relook and perhaps reinterpret how we approach worship as a church online. Now, as a worship leader, I find that everything I thought I knew that helped people adore God, commune with Him, engage our minds in worship, it really doesn't work so well with the screen. Prior to the pandemic, we heard people singing, we heard people clapping, and we knew we were not alone when we stood in the sanctuary singing and praising God. Sometimes as a worship leader, we would be told and encouraged to give people space to commune with God. These days, giving people space on screen means they go to their fridge, they go and get a drink, or they perhaps adjust the volume setting. It just is not the same. If you approach worship online like you do in physical church, as a spectator waiting for something to happen or something the worship leader will say that will engage you, somehow you will be disappointed. And soon you will end up logging in past worship, past the announcement, past the communion, and perhaps just listen to the sermon. Maybe. There is something about community that keeps us accountable, that spurs us to engage in adoration and worship of God. And it certainly worked for a family of seven who, after last week's service, assured me that none of them were in bed and all of them were super attentive. That's great. And so maybe we need to change our language. It's not, do we attend a service? Or do we watch a service? Perhaps we need to say, we are part of a service. And so, for example, the conversation that's going to happen is, hey, what you doing this Sunday? Want to go eat breakfast? Sorry, I'm part of the church service. But it's online. Well, I'm still part of it. And that, my friends, is community. Would you now just take some time to text somebody that you haven't seen for a long, long while and say, hey, I'm so glad that you are part of the church community. Go ahead, take out your phones and just text them and say hi. I'm sure they'd be delighted to hear from you. Thank you for being part of PJFC's community online. And just like worship, being in a community is a bit different and probably needs a bit of tweaking for it to work well online. One of the things that we can do is perhaps type inspirational thoughts on the chat box. But the challenge to do this is, how is it relevant to today's message? How can it inspire my brothers and sisters? And how does it edify the broader church? Right? We can throw in inspirational messages from anywhere, but how do we keep it focused to the message and the theme of that Sunday? Now, it's hard, but don't give up. Give it a go. If we keep trying, we will get better. And when we get better, everyone wins, everyone grows. So today, we have come to the final chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 16. Now, I want to recommend that you also read Acts chapter 19 and chapter 20, as well as 2 Corinthians, to get an even greater insight and context to this particular chapter. And as we read it, keep in mind these two things. First, there is a great, great famine in Jerusalem, and many of the believers in Jerusalem are poor. The second point is this. This letter began by addressing the factions between Paul's followers, Apollos' followers, and even Jesus' followers. So keep in mind these two things, and perhaps even add in that there's possibility of troublemakers that Paul is aware of, but does not mention by name. So now listen now for the word of the Lord. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I indeed intend to pass through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord, as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has the opportunity. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. That was chapter 16 of Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. As Pastor Jeremy likes to say in his announcements, it's a very, very busy season in the church. And we can see that there is a lot going on, not just in the Corinthian church, but the Church of Christ everywhere in the early Christian world. Today, I will highlight five things that we see in this chapter and, where appropriate, reflect on how it applies and impacts community in God's church. Hopefully, it will give us some handles on how to be community in this new normal. So the five things we will look at in 1 Corinthians 16 are collection, unhurried fellowship, co-workers, Uber leaders, and kindness, or rather, the kiss. Yes, there is an underlying message, if you can see the acronym. Chucho. Question, have you gotten your vaccine jab yet? If not, just remember to prioritize it when you get called. It's just a gentle reminder. Now back to the sermon. CU, CUK. The first C is for collection. At the start of the chapter, Paul refers to a collection to be taken. Now this collection for the saints refers to a church-wide collection for the recipients in Jerusalem. The churches in Galatia have been directed to take up this collection to help poor Christians that have been hard hit by the famine in Jerusalem. And so now also Paul is telling the Corinthian church, which is wealthy and able. It is suggested that Paul's request for the church to give was also to bridge the Jew-Gentile divide and to reinforce that we are all one family, one community under Jesus Christ, that we should share to alleviate alleviate each other's sufferings. It is also possible that he wants to make a statement about Christianity's social welfare concern for its brethren. You see, followers of Judaism and the other Roman cults had special reserve and collections to help their own poor. It just would not do for all other religious movements to send aid to their respective members and for the Christians just to ignore theirs, especially when the people who are suffering are in Jerusalem, where the headquarters was. Each one, Paul says, was to give. Each is to give according to how they view God has prospered them. Whether slave or free, rich or poor, each have an amount that they can give towards the needs of others. And it was a regular giving as per their regular service. Giving and storing up this collection in the church treasury would also make the amount more substantial and not dependent on emotions or moods when Paul came. I praise God that people in PJEFC are not tight-fisted. I've had the privilege of knowing individuals who are looking for causes to support, finding out if staff in NGOs are receiving salaries and then giving towards it, asking if families have children who are hungry and wanting to support the purchase of groceries. The community in God's church cares for those who are near and also those who are far away. Last week, Pastor Jeremy highlighted ministries in Nepal and in India led by Pastor Hari and Pastor Pam. Pastor Yu Yong prayed for Myanmar, where Christians and so many more are suffering under regime. We can support different communities of Christians when we purpose and put aside money for these collections. The Church of God, as we see in chapter 16 and in our own realities, is international. We're not alone in Malaysia. When one part of the body hurts, we all experience hurt, whether the church is in India, Nepal, Myanmar, or Palestine. How can we support them? While the community of believers is international, so also is the community of believers interdependent on each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to support one another. How can we do this if we are not prepared to give? So I pray that we continue our regular giving, putting aside amounts every week so that when we meet to help communities, that resource is there. Going on to the next point, which is the first U, it stands for unhurried. Unhurried fellowship and unhurried God's will. Paul wants to visit the Corinthian church, but he doesn't want it to be a hi-bye kind of situation. He wants to spend time with those in Corinth, even if the church is plagued with all sorts of issues. Reading 2 Corinthians will show you that their issues were not over, and Paul was really upset with them. So much so that 2 Corinthians is called the severe letter, and sometimes even the tearful letter. Paul's care for the church was genuine and deep, but he was also subject to God's timing and leading. At the writing of this letter, he's still in Ephesus, where opportunities to minister the word and the Spirit of God is opened up. But so also was there so much opposition. You see, what was happening for Paul, if you can read Acts 19 and 20, was that he was praying for people and they were receiving the Holy Spirit, and he did so many extraordinary miracles there. Many were turning to Jesus. Praise the Lord. But it also meant that many people were leaving their worship of the goddess Artemis, and the craftsmen making the silver shrines for Artemis' worship was losing their business all over Asia. Talk about a regional impact of people coming to know Jesus Christ. And these craftsmen, they attacked Paul and the brethren, and they made a big hoo-ha in Ephesus. But this is one simple example above so many, to be learned from Paul's experience that the presence of opposition does not mean that we have moved out of the will of God. There were many in Corinth then, as indeed there are also today, who at least believe that everything goes smoothly when we are properly touched with the Lord. The New Testament teaches us differently. Opposition does not necessarily mean God's will is not being done. All this is happening, all this exciting things in Acts is happening while he's writing this letter, hoping to see the Christians in Corinth. This is the plan, he says, but it's also subject to God's will. Similar also for Apollos, he cannot come yet because there's no opportunity. Now, my initial reading of the passage made me think that Apollos really didn't want to go back to Corinth because of this whole I follow Paul, I follow Apollos kind of mindset. But further reading reveals that it is not his will may possibly refer to God's will, and that Apollos, like Paul, was tied up doing what God had called him to. This short verse also tells us something about the good spiritual friendship Apollos and Paul shared, despite the fact that Corinthians pit them against each other. Paul urged Apollos to go, and Apollos did consider, but then after that explained to Paul why he couldn't. We don't get to hurry God's will. And therefore, this first you is just to remind us that in God's community, let's share this unhurried fellowship. Let's look forward for this unhurried fellowship. But also let us be mindful that we cannot hurry God's will. Now the second C is for co-workers. Throughout the chapter, Paul drops many, many names. The first reading may even feel like there's just no particular direction. But if you take a step back, Paul's conclusion to 1 Corinthians is like a roundup of what's going on around all the regions. Galatia is taking collection, there are churches in Macedonia, and there are some things happening in Ephesus, and there are believers in Achaia, and he's also in touch with all the churches in Asia. And then there's Timothy, there's Apollos, there's Stephanas, and his whole household. There's Fortunus, there's Achaicus, there's Aquila, and there's Prisca, and the church in their house. And there, there's this collective brothers or brethren that we don't really know who it is, right? The community in God's church is not stagnant. It's not hindered by borders or waters, and it isn't a solo effort. Paul gives us a picture of a thriving community of co-workers, each called to serve in different regions and in different ways. But there is a bond that unites their hearts. To know that believers from so far away send their regards has a deep meaning, which is rather lost today, in modern life today, because a hi is just a text away. Now, the matter of how they should treat Timothy is curious. I ask myself, why would Paul have to tell them not to let anyone despise Timothy? Why would they despise Timothy? Now, remember that Timothy was young, timid, and perhaps not very sturdy in health. It seems that Paul is concerned about how the confident, strong-willed Corinthians might swallow up his young co-worker. Perhaps Paul feared that Timothy might not be adequate for a confrontation with such people. Again, a read of 2 Corinthians will reveal that Paul's fears were well-founded. And hence this preempt or this warning to treat Timothy well was much needed. Paul had to remind them that Timothy was doing the same work as he, Paul himself, is doing. That is the work of the Lord. So you know what? Be kind, guys. Be respectful. Be gracious to the young man. We are all co-workers in the kingdom of God. Let us appreciate that of each other. Now, another example of co-workers is found in Paul's short mention of the household of Stephanas. Now, a household is not just one family back then. Imagine it referring to a Sarawakian longhouse, right? With multiple families, all related either by blood, marriage, or by re- retaining, right? That's a household. Okay. Old, young, single, married, male, female, slave, free, servants even perhaps, right? They came to know the Lord and they served together the saints. Now, the role of children cannot be dismissed in household ministry. In fact, children are very good at serving others, sometimes even without being solicited. When there are people to serve, make-believe tea and cakes become real. Woo-hoo, it's so fun. And children take joy in serving. Such servant lifestyle in a family is a powerful testimony to the reality of the risen Christ. The church community is about all sorts of shapes and sizes serving each other. And this is also a good segue into the fourth point from this chapter, superb leaders or uber leaders. Now let me read to you again verses 15 and 16. Now I urge you, brothers, we know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. Paul says to be subject to people like Stephanas, or Stephanas' household. The phrase be subject shares the same root as found in Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The Greek in 1 Corinthians makes it a recommendation and not a command. Okay. Paul is recommending that the Corinthian church follow, obey, recognize the authority of those people who have devoted themselves to the service of the saints, which is the Christian community. The household of Stephanas has seen the priority of simply being available with the gift of hospitality to wait on the needs of others. They devoted themselves to serving others. This word speaks of a dedicated and disciplined lifestyle, this devoted. And Paul recognizes this devotion as the gift of leadership. Now, this insight challenges our notions, but particularly our practice of leadership. Bible scholar David Pryor writes this: do we ever take with proper seriousness the perspective Paul provides on leadership as service? Jesus taught the same truth: whoever would be great among you must be your servant. This indicates that the authentic, solid leadership of a local church will come from people who give themselves to serving the saints. Such leadership does not depend on education, qualifications, degrees, or natural charisma. It comes from the grace of God equipping His people with gifts which enable them to be servants of others in the fellowship of believers. At this juncture, I want to invite all of you who are in cell groups to take a good look at your cell leaders and your assistant cell leaders. Year in and year out, they serve you saints with a devotion that leads me to suspect that they were from Stephanas' household. They are uber leaders, superb leaders. They buy fish and vegetables for their members who are unwell. They open their homes week after week, clearing up after everyone has left. They scratch their heads on how to feed the sheep with spiritual food. They wonder which type of platform now online that is going to help everyone get to cell group on time. They pray for you. They notice that you're missing. They listen to the amount of grumbling that you express. And they also deal with the attitude that puts many teenagers to shame. Sometimes CG leaders forward some of your texts to help me understand the situation they face in the cell groups. In some instances, I can literally feel the superior and sometimes toxic attitudes that ooze out from the screen. Come on, guys. Honor your leaders. Consider how they serve you and accord to them the authority and respect that is due to them. Celebrate your uber leaders. Write them a personal note of appreciation. Don't just send an emoji, a smiley face. in the group chat, right? They devote their lives to serving the saints. Give them more than just a hee-hee on a WhatsApp message. But for now, won't you just click those hearts on the screen, that heart-shaped button on the screen, and show them some love? But remember to write them that appreciation note, because it does wonders for the heart. And leaders, learn to receive these words and gestures of appreciation. Don't go all Asian and say, "Hey, yeah, yeah, no need lah, no need lah, no need lah." No, let your hearts be fed with this love from your sheep. It takes grace also to allow others to love and serve you. Do you know of a superb Uber leader, someone who is serving with all their heart? Encourage them, affirm them, love them, make them an example in your life. And finally, we reach the kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This is also found in Romans and Thessalonians, and is not specific to the Corinthian church. But this church in Corinth is so torn with strife and dissension that this closing by Paul is intentional. The holy kiss was likely a simple, common form of greeting, reflecting both the culture of the time and the special relationship that believers had to one another as a family of God. A holy kiss, that is, a kiss that belongs to the saints, God's holy people. This practice likely developed into the liturgical kiss of peace given at the end of prayers and just before the congregation shared the sacrament or the communion elements. It was the sign and symbol that they sat at the table of love, joined together in perfect love. Such a warm greeting at Corinth would itself be a rebuke to all the cliquishness in the very divided church. Yet it tells us that community in God's church is supposed to be this warm, it's supposed to be this welcoming. And it begs us to reflect if we, as a church community, whether physical meetings or whether online, are welcoming, are warm, or even trusting of each other. A holy kiss at any time, even without COVID, would be against our normal inclinations, right? But as churches grow bigger in congregational size, there is less and less fellowship, and intimacy is further lost. The bigger and the more scattered the congregation is, the more difficult it is for there to be fellowship where people really know and truly love one another. A church that is a collection of strangers, or at best acquaintances, is not a true community in the deeper sense. The new normal, the MCOs, the online church, do not make the holy kiss any easier. How do we deepen our relationships? How do we care for each other? And how can we become a deeply felt community to each other? I suggest cell groups or small groups in different ministries. But even then, just huddling together on Zoom or on Skype or whichever platform does not form a true community, just as gathering books without reading makes us learned people. It just doesn't happen. Community doesn't happen automatically. So I want to invite you to join us at our Christian education class at 11 a.m. with Reverend Tan Su In. It's about building spiritual friendships. Now I know some of you cheeky fellas out there may be thinking, make friend with spirits, Pastor. No, okay? But it does involve God's spirit in us. Deep calls to deep. And spiritual friendships are meaningful relationships that go beyond high buys, the casual, I'll pray for you. Is there something that we are missing in our fellowships, in our relationships, even in our cell groups? Do you desire a friend who will truly journey with you in this faith road? Even if you think you're okay with how your relationships are in church now, I encourage you, check this seminar out and consider its content. You may learn something that will benefit your soul, and you can bring that to the table, the online table community, and share it. So, the collection, the unhurried fellowship, the co-workers, the Uber leaders, and the kiss. 주죠. Okay. 1 Corinthians 16 is full of reflections on community. It's not Paul's teaching directly about what community looks like, but I hope that when you see it from these 5 points, you can catch a glimpse of community in God's church. In the collection, we give to help others. We give generously. We remember those who are far away, and we help those even though they're different from us. In unhurried fellowship, we desire to spend good quality time with each other, building deep. Even so, we recognize that we are subject to God's will, and we cannot hurry it. We must prioritize obeying His call first. As co-workers, the community is filled with them, the community in God's church. If you do not see yourself as a co-worker, maybe it's time to get involved. And no one is too old or too young to serve the people of God, to care for the people of God, wherever you are. We're talking about Uber leaders. Leaders in the church serve each other's needs. Honor and encourage those who serve you, for they are indeed God's gifted leaders. And finally, the kiss. There is a deep spiritual bonding between believers in a community. In our new normal online, this may take extra effort and some creativity. Try out a cell group, join the class right after this, and let's see how we can deepen our relationships in this community called church. 주죠. Okay. Finally, like Paul's last jab at those who do not show love in the church, this is my jab at all of us to prioritize getting the vaccine if we're able to. It is our communal responsibility to help protect the weak and the young. Let us also engage in honoring conversations with friends and relatives who may be rejecting vaccination because of fear due to the lack of understanding. Let's engage with them respectfully. Keep safe, and may the peace of God be with us all. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for this morning and the community of believers online. We recognize, O Lord, that it is harder to love, it's harder to express care, it's harder to build deeper relationships when we cannot meet face to face. But Lord, we recognize also it's not impossible. And so God, we look to you. Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us, oh God, inspiring ideas, things that will capture our imagination so that God, we can apply them in our day-to-day conversations, our day-to-day interactions with fellow believers, and grow deep as a community. God, may we also shine forth your light to communities worldwide. That while we are an international church, God, we recognize we are dependent on each other. We pray, O Lord, that you will continue to walk with us. Help us, O God, to care for others. And may your name, O God, be lifted high wherever your people are found.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons.